It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
And he's going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Colzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP. The 28-yard TD.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. And we actually have some Giants news to talk about this morning. We saw the rumors at the end of yesterday's show. But since then, it has been confirmed by the Giants. Good news and bad news. We'll start with the bad news. David Wilson visited the doctor on Wednesday. He got checked out. He got an MRI. He got all the tests. And he's not cleared for contact yet. The good news, he has made significant progress. It's obvious that the injury is healing. And if it continues along the same rate, the Giants and David Wilson seem to think there's a good chance he will be cleared for contact when he gets his next test on July 21st, surprisingly enough, the day the Giants report for training camp. So that's the good news. Now there is some bad news as well, and that is J'Ron Hosley, another member of the Giants secondary, has been suspended for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. That means it's a recreational drug. You can assume it's pot, but that wasn't released. I don't know what it was, but you know, J'Ron Hosley did have issues with that coming out of college as well, one of the reasons he slipped into the third round. So the Giants lose a member of their secondary for the first four games. And Lance, I guess we'll start with this before getting deeper into the running back situation. It's going to be very difficult for him to make this team now, considering he might not be able to play for the first four games. It's hard to, you know, keep him around in that type of situation.
Well, you have a lot of depth at the corner spot this season. They brought in a number of guys, and based on last year's performance, they should have brought in a number of guys because this is only going to help the secondary get better. In terms of the depth chart, Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, Prince Amukamara, I think we could pencil in as the starters.
And I think you could pencil Walter Thurman Jr. as the third guy.
As that slot corner. Then after that, Tremaine McBride comes back with a great deal of experience from last season.
And he started and played well last year.
Charles James, who's been on the practice squad, he's been on the 53-man roster. He has experience, familiarity with the system. Let's not forget Zach Bowman, who comes over from the Bears.
Veteran.
Starting experience,
yep.
Filled in for Charles Peanut Tillman last season, as well as Tim Jennings with the Bears. And then you get down to Hosley. So there's a lot of guys that you need to jump to solidify a roster spot.
And also draft pick Bennett Jackson out of Notre Dame, another guy that's going to compete for a spot. So there are a lot of corners on this team. You're right, Lance. Look, the Giants have a lot of bad luck in terms of injuries at that position. So let's see what happens. You get the training camp, three guys go down, then you might want to keep Hosley around just in case. But here's the thing about J'Ron Hosley. At least right now, he's another third-round pick that hasn't had the success the Giants expected. And, you know, Will Hill was given all those chances because the Giants felt he could be an impact player. I would not expect Will Hill, who's had trouble getting on the field even without a suspension because simply he hasn't played well enough. You wonder how long they're going to stick with a guy like that when he, you know, makes a mistake like this.
Well, the other thing to take into consideration when you look at Hosley's career thus far, John, he's been plagued by injuries. The hamstring has been bothering him.
Great point.
So he has not been on the field as much as he should be. And, you know, when you look at Hosley's career, I understand, once again, I'm saying that he hasn't been on the field. You know, what jumps out to you? A game, a play. Not much of anything. Now, this would have been the golden opportunity, training camp, hey, make a statement, because even though they did bring in DRC, I think behind Walter Thurman, special teams, there's areas you can contribute even though you haven't been on the field much.
And Hosley, coming out of college, was also supposed to be a potential punt return guy, but he had so much trouble catching the football and holding on to it his first couple of training camps here that kind of fell by the wayside. So, you know, Hosley, he's really going to have to play well this offseason and in this spring and this summer in order to earn a roster spot. And we should note, by the way, on another suspension-related note, no one else got suspended. But for all the Giant fans out there that were freaking out about the Giants letting go of Will Hill, right? Another team's going to pick him up. He's going to come back and kill the Giants. He's going to be this impact player. And he's going to come back and bite us in the butt. He cleared waivers. Every single NFL team had a chance to claim Will Hill. Nobody did. I think that speaks volumes.
Well, and I think part of it is you're going to bring in a player that you know is not going to be able to play the first six games. You'd rather give opportunities to other guys, even if it's a seasoned vet who may have not been signed that is still lurking out there. I would rather bring that person in because I know he can go out there in week one or week two. It's no reflection on Will Hill as a player. It's just, as we talked about, John, six games, that's nearly half the season. So you're anticipating that he's all of a sudden going to resurrect your team week seven, week eight, without really having any practice time? You'd rather invest in somebody else.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Just want to touch quickly on the David Wilson stuff before we get to your phone calls. And Lance, fantastic news. You know, we talked to David about David Wilson a lot last year and what an impact, difference-making type of player he could be. And, you know, it was partially his absence along with the poor play of Akeem Nicks and, you know, the bad offensive line that really limited the Giants' explosive plays last year. But if he can get on the field, split time with Rashad Jennings, split time with Andre Williams, split time with Peyton Hillis, he could really be a big play guy that can make this Giant offense a lot more dynamic, I think, in 2014. And maybe the Giants can really get back to that true three-headed monster with three guys with different skill sets that can all bring a little bit something different to the field. And it really gives Ben McAdoo a ton of different weapons to go to in that backfield.
Well, and I think Wilson would be a good fit for this West Coast system because you can dump off short passes to him and you can use his speed and versatility to get up the field, similar to how you utilize Rashad Jennings. And we've noted this time and time again on this program, John. You just alluded to the three-headed monster. When the Giants have been at the top of the NFL rankings with their running game, it's come in seasons when they've had three reliable guys. And Derek Ward, Brandon Jacobs, and Ahmad Bradshaw are the three that I at least point to time and time again in that 2008 campaign. And you remember that huge game that Derek Ward had against Carolina when both of the teams were fighting for the top spot in the NFC. That's the element that you need that was missing so much in this game and in this team. One other thing I want to note with respect to David Wilson, I think we all get carried away. Oh, he's hurt. He's still not been cleared. He has been working out with the team.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not as if you're in contact drills right now. So he's getting the mental reps. He's getting the physical reps. It's just that you want him to be able to put on the pads and take a hit come training camp. That's the ultimate goal.
And one thing I noticed in practice, and then, you know, talking to Dan, he, you know, he's seen it too, that every time he catches the ball and does a running drill or does whatever, he catches it high and tight, second hand over the football. So he's really trying to get that ball security situation resolved, because if that doesn't get resolved, even if he's healthy, he's not going to play anyway.
And it's not bad to focus on that now when you don't have to worry about absorbing a hit. You just get the mental reps in so you know, okay, this is where to put the ball. So when I do have to get down and dirty and physical in a game, it's second nature by that time.
And by the way, I should note, there's a lot of, you know, I always go back and forth with the Farmer Brothers on Twitter about Peyton Hillis. He managed to fumble the other day without even any contact in practice. So that's kind of hard to do. But he had the ball punched out in practice. And as I've said many times, that's been a problem for him in the past. So something to keep an eye on. 201-939-4513. Let's get to the phones and start off with Christian in Long Island. He's been holding the longest. Christian, what's up?
How you guys doing this morning?
Doing well, Christian.
You guys kind of touched on two of the things I wanted to talk about with David Wilson and Holsley.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we have a bunch of corners in depth. Do we even give him the opportunity to even try and make the team now, since, you know, it's another basically probably a weed situation, and, you know, we just set the example with Will Hill. No matter how much talent you have, you know, Coughlin's going to stick to his guns about the rules.
Well, but I think you also need to take into consideration Will Hill was a multiple strike offender, if you want to at least label him from that perspective. J'Ron Hosley, this is at least his first offense here in the NFL. That doesn't mean that he hasn't had a troubled past similar to Will Hill. So if you took that somewhat patient approach with Will Hill, I think they're willing to give J'Ron Hosley a second chance, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy for him to make the team. So to answer your question, Christian, he's going to have an opportunity in training camp to compete. Keep in mind, though, his reps are going to diminish a little because there's going to be other guys that are going to have to get more reps since they're going to be able to play the first four games.
Yeah, Christian, we saw it last year when the Giants knew Will Hill was going to miss those first six games of the year. You know, they knew that he wasn't going to be available, so his reps a lot of times in training camp were very limited because they knew he was going to be suspended the first four games, excuse me, and, you know, he didn't practice a whole lot. So I think Hosey might see his reps go down which will make it harder for him to make this team. Because, look, Hosley is his third year. He's a third-round pick. Usually you'll give your third-round picks 3 years to make the team. But now with this suspension, if he really doesn't show something this training camp, I could easily see him being out the door.
And then I had two more questions. So basically, who are we looking at as a dark horse candidate to take that third wide receiver spot? And what do you think about the receiver we picked up from Arizona's waivers, Washington, 6'4 guy?
You know, he's a big guy. I haven't seen him do a ton in practice yet. He was still kind of learning in the OTAs I saw earlier this week. I know a couple guys in the pro personnel department like him, and that's why they picked him up, and they think he's a bit of a sleeper. I will say this. I don't think right now there's a sleeper for the third wide receiver spot. I think it's going to be Beckham. It's going to be Cruz. It's going to be Randall. And the fourth guy's Jernigan. And the fifth guy's Manningham. I think it's pretty solid. You know, I think you can probably flip-flop Manningham and Jernigan based on whether or not Manningham's injured or healthy. But I think your top three guys are Randall, Cruz, and Beckham. And if it's not Randall, Cruz, and Beckham, I think it's a real bad sign that either Randall or Beckham isn't playing well enough to be your second or third wide receiver.
All right. And I can't remember his name. I just read an article about him, I think, yesterday or the day prior. We picked up a safety who had led the league in college and passed his defense. I think he played Division II, but he's only about 160, 170 pounds.
You're talking about, I'm trying to think of who he's referring to. I mean, they got Thomas Gordon, but he played for Michigan. So I'm not exactly sure who you're talking about that came from Division II. Because outside of that, they pretty much have their usual suspects on this roster. And a guy like C.J. Barnett, who's another young safety, he played for Ohio State. So do you know the name? Do you know the last name? Who maybe you thought it was on a different team?
No, it was definitely for the Giants. I just read about it yesterday, but I guess I have to look back and I can, you know, reach out to you guys on Twitter. What are the chances David Wilson isn't cleared for contact by training camp?
I mean, I think it's up in the air at this point. The fact that he got positive news that he's showing improvement increases his chances to get approved, and I think that the doctors and the organization is optimistic, but to give you a percentage to say it's 70-30, 50-50, I think it's hard to really put a number on that right now. I think that they have every intention and every goal that he will be cleared, but you never know. I mean, there could be a setback here or there.
And, Christian, I'll say this. They did sound, just the verbiage in the story and the quotes from the doctors and the Giants and David Wilson were more optimistic than I've ever heard them before in reference to the injury. So I think that's probably a pretty good sign.
Does Andre Williams look like he's practicing catching the ball? Because a lot of critics, I know, you know, were saying he can't catch a cold. And I just read another article. They were talking bad about him. He does everything else well. He just can't catch it all.
Well, here's the thing. If you have Rashad Jennings and you have David Wilson, it's extremely imperative to have Andre Williams catch the football consistently. Granted, I agree, he should know how to catch the football. I'm not trying to protect him from that, but do you need him to do that? Is it so important if you have other guys on the roster?
And Andre Williams is working on it, but Lance is right. I mean, you don't need this guy to be a 40-50 catch a game type of guy. Jennings can catch the ball, Hillis can catch the ball, and David Wilson can catch the ball.
And think about how the receivers are going to be utilized on short passes.
And screens, exactly.
As always, thank you guys for your time, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest.
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. This guy's managed to get up out of bed finally since the Habs lost to the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's Jason up in Montreal. Jason, are you guys all right up there, or you guys had like a morning period up there in Quebec?
You know what? We have our mascot walking the street with a Rangers jersey because he lost a bet with Jimmy Fallon.
That's right.
Is that true? Oh, boy.
And he's riding the carousel. I saw the photos on Twitter.
You saw it? Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But anyways, yeah, we have a good team. We're going to come back harder and stronger. I'm waiting for the Rangers, even though I don't really want to. But anyways, on a different note, hi, John.
Hey, Jason, how are you? And by the way, I've said to a lot of Ranger fans, guys, you beat a team and they were missing their best player, which was their goalie for seven games.
Carey Price.
You know, don't get too excited about this. And they're like, oh, you know, the guy that came in for him was pretty good anyway. I'm like, how would you guys feel if Lundqvist got hurt for the whole series and then you lost? How would you feel about it? So, you know.
Hold on a second. I need to know. I need to know something. New York, actually, they know that you guys got a hockey team? I didn't know that. The way I see it, I think you guys are just like now realizing that you guys have a hockey team or something.
Jason, you well know with me, I could not care less about hockey. I did not watch the game last night. I have no intention of watching any of the Stanley Cup Finals games. Lance has to. He doesn't care either, but he has to for his other job.
Well, Lance, we're gonna talk on Twitter, buddy. We're gonna talk about it on Twitter. I'm hoping you guys make it because I hate Los Angeles. So, anyways, I'll get on to my topic because I know you guys have a bunch of calls waiting and stuff. First off, okay, because of the whole Habs thing, I haven't been on BBK for a while, so I'm. Thanks to, you know, iPhone and Android and being Giants Chat being on the podcast, I was able to, you know, go back and check the archives. Now, I heard something about Charlie's remarks and the thing, the last thing I talked about with Jerry Reese. You know what's funny? What's his name? Charlie?
Yeah.
That dude, he was talking about something about his family and them being in the WAC and all that. And it kind of makes sense now. Everything just makes sense about the whack and everything with Charlie because that dude is whacked out for sure.
Oh, you're talking about Charlie from Maine. Okay, I lost you. I didn't know where we were going with this. Okay,
Boy. Gotcha. Yeah. Lobster boy there. What's his name?
Lobster boy. Oh, boy, we're giving nicknames now.
Well, straight up, because, I mean, the guy called me out. But what I was trying to say really and truly back then was that I don't think that Jerry Reese belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's not what I'm saying at all. I was saying that the dude's at a crossroad where either he could be considered or he could be fired. It's one of the two because
right.
he has a team now that he's built from scratch. And so it's a crucial, crucial, crucial season for him. That was my point, basically. I wasn't saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. And when you were talking about Ernie, I completely forgot about him. And he did definitely belongs there before any other GM from the Giants, that's for sure. So I just wanted to clear that up.
No, Jason, it sounds good. You know, and I remember when Charlie placed that call, and that's the exact point I made to him. That not that he's earned Hall of Fame status now, but if he can build up again to another Super Bowl with all his own guys and, you know, rebuild, you know, in a 2 or 3 year period, which is very difficult to do, then he would deserve some consideration.
Yeah, I think all that salt water in Maine there kind of clogged up his eardrums or something. I don't know. But anyways, my point that I wanted to bring up really and truly was about Will Hill because I didn't get a chance to call him before. You know what's funny? You brought it up just before, and I was actually smiling when you said it. He didn't go claimed by any team after waivers, right?
Nope.
Now, I got something that a little out of the box that I'm thinking of. If he didn't get called claimed, why wouldn't Jerry Reese go to him and be like, look, all these 32 teams don't want you because of your attitude? The whole thing that we talk about, the low-risk, high-reward, now that everything in the slate is completely clean, we don't owe him anything, you know, just completely wiped out, why wouldn't Jerry Reese go back to him and be like, you see what happens now because of your stupidity? This is what ends up happening. Nobody wants you, but you're a Giant, and you've always been a Giant. I'm willing to start a new slate, rebuild a new contract, something that's going to be like a low-risk, high-reward type of thing, and we still get back Will Hill, and it's going to be like a win-win situation for us.
Well, I mean, they could definitely have a conversation like that, but I think the Giants are also considering the fact that he's still going to miss the first six games of this season, and they'd just rather invest their time and emphasis on other players who can be productive. And I'm not trying to say that Will Hill is not valuable, but I think they're looking at it not necessarily the long-term big picture, Jason. They're looking at it short-term. And right now, in their short-term plans, there's not real room for Will Hill. Long-term meaning after this season or something, perhaps they'll revisit that, but for all we know, he may be picked up by a team at that point.
Right. But here's the thing, though. We were saying about maybe 2 months ago, right, before the whole schmeal with him and, you know, his whole drug thing, that we have, like, one of the best secondaries in at least the NFC East. We have the best secondary in the NFC East, and that included Will Hill being there. And what I'm thinking is that whether or not we take him, somebody's going to definitely take him. This guy was the number two safety in the whole NFL last year. So I think that we should be the ones, especially that we know him, we know how he is, not excluding the whole issues off the field, but on the field, we know who he could be. And if the price is right, somebody's going to pick him up regardless. It might as well be us.
Well, if there's any organization that has familiarity with Will Hill, it obviously is the Giants more so than anyone else. And Jason, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing
no
in this
problem.
Morning.
But again, it comes back to the reliability, Lance. You know, you bring him back.
Of
what
course.
Happens, you know, can you trust him to stay clean again? And, you know, especially if he's sitting around there on the street, not with the team, watching his every move for the next 3 or 4 months, can you really trust him to, you know, play by the rules and stay out of trouble?
And that's probably the one fear and the one concern that's preventing the Giants from being the aggressors and maybe inviting him back. Everybody's looking at it, oh, well, Will Hill's not going to cost a lot of money, and I agree, because there isn't a high demand on the market, and Will Hill is a playmaker, and I agree, but it still gets overshadowed by the fact that, well, what happens if you bring him back and then strike four is committed? Was it really worth the aggravation to just bring him back into the mix?
And you're sending the message again. If you told him this was your last chance and he screws up and he does it again, how can you then change your mind and say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't your last chance. We'll give you another shot.
And I think the whole J'Ron Hosley situation further complicates bringing back Will Hill, because now you have multiple players who have violated the substance abuse policy.
Exactly. And the guy Christian Long Island was referring to, by the way, is Kyle Sebetic. Numerous reports that the Giants signing him after they released Will Hill, 5'11", 194 pounds out of Dayton. One pick in 2013. In 2012, he led the FCS. That is basically what is now Division II in deflection. So, passes defended. So that's the player he was talking about. Not even on our roster page yet. We'll have to get on Nile's shot there and see what he's doing. He's too busy hanging on the beach out in Los Angeles. He's got to update the roster page. Sends back poor Dave Dominic, his assistant, on the red eye. He's on 2 hours of sleep. He's a zombie. And you know, Neely's sitting out there on the beach.
Drinking pina coladas.
Yeah, exactly.
And singing in the rain.
Come
yeah,
on
it's
now.
Amazing.
Let's go.
Clearly, some people put their priorities straight.
Exactly. Or don't put their priorities straight.
Yeah. Well, I was being a little sarcastic, trying to get you to read between the lines here, but that went right over the head.
Yeah, pretty
yes,
much.
I could tell.
Bad delivery.
All right. We could be critical this morning.
201-939-4513. David's up in the Bronx. David, what's going on, pal?
Hey there, how you doing, John?
Hi, David.
How
good to hear from you.
Man?
Doing well. How about yourself?
All right, all right. I want to talk about Marcus Kuhn and Eric Hernan, and then also get into this sad situation with Will Hill. Dealing with Will Hill. Will Hill is a professional. And as a professional, he has to carry himself in a certain way. He can't, I mean, this is the problem with one of the greatest basketball players that was out there at one time, Allen Iverson, them and these posses. At one time, they got a professional ball players have to understand that you are now dealing with what they would say, corporate America. It's big money in sport. And you just can't get there and do it at this irresponsible way. I'm sorry that Shakes was disappointed and also Lynn, but you can't act in an irresponsible way.
Well, that's what it gets back to. And I brought up the example on yesterday's show. If you look at any other line of work, would they give an employee the same type of leeway, or would an organization go out of its way to help an employee overcome an illness such as alcoholism or drug problems? So to me, I thought the Giants showed a great deal of patience and gave him a great deal of leeway because they thought that he was a valuable commodity to this team. But when you commit multiple strikes, there's a point where you need to draw the line, and that's where it's gotten to with respect to the Giants.
Yeah, and they did the right thing. I'm hoping with the young man, the best thing that I hope for him is that he learns from this, and that maybe not being paid, not being picked up for, let's say, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, going without, that he would get there and say, you know, maybe if they do give me another chance, let me go and see if they give me another chance. And then he really stick to his guns and be a consummate professional. That would be a good thing.
Well, that will help him in the long run. And sometimes athletes, anybody, needs a wake-up call to get back on track. And perhaps this is the wake-up call that Will Hill needed, at least from an individual standpoint. As to whether or not he has a future in the NFL, I think he has the talent to have a future in the NFL. But clearly, the fact that he went through waivers and wasn't picked up, as John mentioned, is a sign that there's other teams that are also skeptical. You have to understand, the league seems so big, and it seems like there's so many players, so many personalities, but it is a very small group. All these executives talk, all these owners talk when they go to the meeting. So if you get a bad name with one organization, that is going to spread like wildfire across the league.
And I should note this too, David, while you're on the line talking about this. Posted, I guess it was last night, on the Channel 11 website, there's a story about how Will Hill basically rented a home and basically left it completely trashed and destroyed and refused to pay back rent to a woman who's been kind of trying to track him down for a few months. So, you know, there are a number of issues here with Will Hill that I think even goes beyond the suspensions, and there are a lot of red flags. The Giants tried to work with him and deal with him on a lot of these issues, but eventually, enough is enough. What else you got for us?
Yeah, but now, John, you know I've been calling you for months now about these two players. Come on now. Give me some news now. What's going on with Mr. Coon? What's going on with Mr. Herman?
Well,
how are they looking?
Well, David, I got to tell you, you can't tell a ton with the offensive linemen and defensive linemen and OTAs. I mean, you can't have contact. If you can't have contact, how am I supposed to judge how a defensive tackle and an offensive guard are playing? I mean, right now, Eric Herman's lining up. I think he's with the third team in practice. And Marcus Coon, they're using him mostly as that, you know, middle, you know, nose tackle type of position, you know, that he lines up over the center, in between the center and the guard. So that's how the two guys are being used. It's really hard for me to tell how they look because you're not allowed to have any contact in OTAs.
Okay.
You have to understand, John has shown just about more physicality than any other player on the football field over the last few weeks. So, you know, if he's leading the depth chart in physicality, then that says a lot right now.
Okay. All right, anybody?
Got to lighten up this morning. You're killing me here. Come on, you can't be so serious. It's Marcus Coon and Eric Herman. We'll eventually get your updates on both.
Thank you, David.
I think that's for Marcus. He has a real future. I know he was a 7th-round draft choice, but one of the things that I know about defensive linemen, when you get a defensive lineman that can rush the passer, and then he has enough presence to stick his hands up and deflect passes, that's somebody to be reckoned with.
Thank you, David.
Great.
All right, David, appreciate the phone call.
I will say this. Just looking at Marcus Coon, that dude hit the weight room the last 2 years. He basically looks like an extra from, like, Conan the Barbarian. I mean, he is gigantic.
Built like a brick. And he looked like that last season when he was in the locker room, even though he couldn't play.
And he's even bigger now.
Correct.
I mean, he's a big, big kid.
But here's the one thing that I always throw out regarding size, height, whatever we analyze and break down on this program. We tend to get caught up in this guy looks like a baller, this guy looks like a player, and then it doesn't always translate to the football field. So, you know, when you talk about Eric Herman, who Dave just brought up, and Eric Herman, you're right, he is built like a guy that nobody would want to mess with on the defensive line. But once again, it doesn't always translate to the football field. And I know we sound like a broken record. You bring up a guy like Ramses Barden. Did he look like a big red zone target? Did he look like a playmaker? Yes. Did it translate to the football field? No. So be very cautious. Just because they look like they can be a playmaker and they have all the characteristics, the coaching staff is evaluating them each and every day during the courses of practice, and it doesn't necessarily carry over.
And by the way, thank you to J-Rock on Twitter for giving me the heads up on the Kyle Sabetic thing. I forgot that did break the other day. 201-939-4513. I got at Big Show 88 trying to tell us on Twitter that Will Hill signed with the Arizona Rattlers of Arena League. Now, he played for them before he signed for the Giants back in like 2010, 2011. But after he came out of college that year, he, you know, didn't play between Florida and the NFL. He says he's been reactivated, but I haven't seen that story anywhere else. I don't think arena football is even going on right now. Isn't the season over? Lance, anything?
I'm looking online myself. I'm actually trying to confirm that story. I did see the tweet, too. I found a press release that says the Rattlers signed Will Hill. The problem is I don't see a date on this, so I can't determine whether or not.
It was 2011.
See, this story could actually be recent, but I'm reading on to determine whether or not it's outdated.
Well, I'm going to give you time to read and take another call. 201-939-4513. Tim is in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, you're up next, pal.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
I got a quest for you. Would the Giants sign Giants or look to sign Jermichael Finley? You know, he visited the Patriots and got receive offers from the Steelers and the Raiders if they cut Jawan Hosley.
You know, Tim, it's a good question. I'm surprised we haven't heard more noise on, you know, Finley and the Giants. I thought they'd be more interested in looking at him now that he's been cleared to play, apparently. Obviously, the Giants will have to put him through their, you know, doctor's test with, you know, with their doctors and, you know, try to figure that out, Russell Warren. And we'll see. I mean, look, I think Jermichael Finley is certainly an upgrade over everybody else they have in camp. If I was the Giants, I'd try to bring him in. You can get him on a flyer on a, you know, veterans minimum type of contract. Why not?
Well, but this is the other situation that I think the Giants need to consider. It's been a game of musical chairs at that position. If you bring in Jermichael Finley, is that going to be a long-term option for you? And I understand that you can't always look at things from, okay, what is going to happen 3 or 4 years from now, but I believe the Giants are in the position where it's been, you know, five tight ends over a very short period of time. You'd like to perhaps get a player that you can groom and say, you know what, this is a guy that could become the nucleus of our offense, and you're also implementing a new offensive system. So if you could develop a tight end and he's a good fit for Ben McAdoo's system, and Ben McAdoo's certainly not going anywhere right now, you have a guy that is going to get comfortable, as opposed to Jermichael Finley, who I think still has some gas in the tank, but given his injury history, you may get a season out of him. You may get a season and a half. Who knows? And then you're going to be back to square one.
Yeah, Lance, but do you think seriously, I mean, you could say maybe this, maybe that. Ifs and buts are candies and nuts. Every day will be Christmas. I mean, do you really think one of the tight ends on this roster is your long-term starter a tight end for the Giants?
On paper, my answer is no. But let me see training camp. Who knows? Maybe somebody will emerge. Remember, Ben McAdoo has experience with tight ends. I'm not saying that he's turned guys into Pro Bowlers, but it's not as if he hasn't developed players. He did develop Jermichael Finley. Jermichael Finley didn't come into the league and wasn't a Pro Bowl household name. So there's a number of guys that I think are on his resume who he has been given credit for in helping to develop. And who's to say that he can't do wonders with somebody currently on the roster? And I understand Adrian Robinson, you know, time is ticking, and I'm not saying that he's going to be the guy, and I'm not necessarily saying that it's going to be Larry Donnell, but there are bodies here. Perhaps it's worth at least taking them for an additional ride to see what they can get out of it, as opposed to Jermichael Finley, who, yeah, there's no harm in bringing him in on a one-year deal, incentive-based, where, hey, if he plays X amount of games, he can earn a few extra bucks. I'm concerned with his injury, and it was a very serious neck injury. We're not talking about a David Wilson injury. We're not talking about a Mathias Kiwanuka injury. We're talking about a separate category here. Big picture, I just don't know how beneficial it's going to be.
201-939-4513. Steve in D.C. Steve, you're up next, pal.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Steve?
Well, listen, first of all, let me get something real straight. Lance, I'm extremely disappointed in you.
Oh.
Number one.
Why is that?
Because, number one, you're going to let somebody call me an SOB?
Oh, that's a little rough.
Well, the guy got heated at the end of yesterday's show.
Listen, you should have checked that right from the top. Number one, I'm a fan. I always respect other fans. It's okay if you have a different opinion than me. But that dude was way out of line. He stepped over the line. He better not be an habitual line stepper, as my man Charlie Murphy would say. That's way out of line,
dude. Habitual line stepper. I like that.
And I understand that you're taking it personal, Steve. I brushed it off as, you know, he was being part comical and part passionate at the same time. I mean, he called out just about every single caller on this program. It wasn't as if he was pinpointing just you.
No, it was me, Shake, and one of my new guys is my man Charlie from Maine. I mean, from Portland, excuse me. I don't know where Charlie's from, but, you know, like,
well,
I
Charlie
said,
has said some wacky things on this program. I'm not saying he's an SOB, but I can understand after yesterday's program that anybody would maybe use that term to describe him. No offense to Charlie.
Listen, any person who voices their opinion on a regular basis, you're not going to agree with everything they say. I disagree with some things that Charlie said, but I have to be honest with you. Lately, I've agreed with a lot of things Charlie said. You know, but I just want to, before I go on to that, I just want to say, John will tell you, the first thing I said about the Will Hill situation is, I understand what the Giants did. I just don't agree with it. Okay, I don't like it. I put it all on Will Hill. It's clearly his fault. So I'm not, you know, I'm not justifying anything, but it's just people like this caller who get up there and they get on this soapbox and they act like they've never done anything wrong, especially at that age in their life. And, like, these guys are supposed to be role models. They're players. Number one, people need to understand this. I love the Giants. I want to win. To me, it seemed like, you know, the pros outweighed the cons. Although it was getting close in my book with Will Hill, clearly his play, in my opinion, outweighed, you know, whatever detriment he was bringing to the team at this point. And, you know, John, you know, when you alluded to the fact that, you know, Posey may not have as long as a rope, that basically you're confirming what I'm saying about, yeah, your play should, you know, kind of dictate on how much, you know, of a rope you're going to get. And to me, Will Hill's a straight baller. He will be picked up. I don't even know. You say he passed waivers, John, but
he did clear waivers.
Like 10 days.
No. Waivers is only a couple days. Right now, Will Hill is now an unrestricted free agent. He has cleared waivers. Now one team claimed him.
Listen, John, if you see a dude walking down the street who you know and he has a hot girlfriend and he decides he wants to dump his girlfriend, and you might be friends with the guy who dumped her, but you're not going to just jump. You're not going to stay this girl on the first day. You don't want to look like you've been wanting her the whole time. So I'm saying don't get it twisted.
Now, Steve, hold on a second. Hold on a second here. Now, what if you know that this girl's in high demand? You got to pounce quickly before somebody else beats you to the target here.
John, okay. All right, listen. Hey, that's the bed. But Tom is going to tell you. Tom is going to tell you. But I tell you what. I don't see Will Hill being out there very much longer at all. You know,
Well, Steve, let's say he gets signed, though. Steve, let's say he gets signed. Name me a Giant that they cut that came back to haunt them. You know, everybody keeps saying the hypotheticals. Do the Giants have a track record of letting guys go and then all of a sudden it really wreaks havoc on them?
And really, the only guy you can put in that category to me is Barry Caulfield.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying he's going
to
end up in the
But they defense. Found defensive tackles to replace him anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to say we'll ever even play against Will Hill again. All I'm simply saying is when we see Will Hill play and he's balling out, to me, that's hurting us. I don't care whether we're playing him or not, because he's not on our team. And I don't want to get into a long debate, because obviously, you know, you got Antoine who does so many more things. But to me, Will Hill's probably, you know, he's probably close to the best player we had on the team. Seriously, you know, I mean, that's all up for debate, and I really didn't want to, you know, beat down the road. But I have no problem putting that on record. I mean, everybody knows I'm a Gator alumni, so I'm definitely a little bit biased in that regard. But it's just like, listen, at least 60% of the league is smoking weed. Now, it doesn't make you any better than the next man because you get caught. So, I mean, or
no, but Steve,
you don't get caught.
It does make you dumber than the other 60% if you get caught, because it's not an easy thing to avoid. You know when the tests are coming, generally speaking, in terms of the time of year. If you have enough self-control to just get off the stuff for a month or two at a time, that's all you have to do. And the fact that he wasn't even willing to do that to save an NFL career that can make him millions of dollars, I think, to me, tells me all you need to know about the guy.
That's where my disappointment comes from, too, as well, John. I can't even argue that, okay? You make a very valid point. But at the end of the day, when I could look at what my Giants need to win, and, you know, looking out, little things are already starting to happen, and, you know, the health of Stevie Brown, and even if he is healthy, he's not even close to the player Will Hill is, I want to win. I want a Super Bowl. I mean, that's at the end of the day, I want a Super Bowl. I'm not looking at these guys. And that's where my next point that, you know, one thing I agree with Charlie, listen, Will Hill is one of them type of players that unless the league says he can't play for the league, then we need to have him on our team. I don't care what we need to do to restructure his contract to make it friendly towards us, but he should have been on the team. And the league is the actual employer, not the New York Football Giants. So he will be back in the league. Anybody, your guys are foolish if you think he's not going to get picked up. I think you're highly mistaken. So, I mean, like I said, guys, I understand why we did it. I just don't agree with it at this point. So
thank you,
I'm
Steve.
Not making any, I'm not making excuses for Will Hill or anybody else. I just want to win. So I'll leave that at there. But, you know, guys, man, I lost my chance. I had so much I wanted to say, but anyway, I'm gonna let it go for today, man. Either
call back again, Steve, and you'll think of it.
All right, Steve.
No doubt, man. You guys have a good
Thanks,
one.
Guys.
You as well.
So you let people name call our other callers now without trying to
If
stick
you
up
go
anybody?
Back and listen to the call, the last caller, and the name escapes me. He was so passionate, so out there, that I did not find it to be so offensive as Steve interpreted. But he's entitled to his opinion, and we're not here to make sure that everybody could call each other names. But he literally must have listed about five or six callers that call into the show. It wasn't he said Steve in D.C. But I can understand that Steve was upset, and there's been other callers that have called in and have called other callers' names. So we tend to, I guess, have a trend going on this
program.
Now,
I did see a lot of positive feedback on that final caller on
Correct. Exactly. So I think it was across the board, the opinions. That doesn't mean that calling somebody an SOB should be supported on this program. I think Steve brings up a valid claim.
I think we can all agree the only person that deserves to get called an SOB on this program
is either
Lance Beto or
Neil
Sean. That's it.
Oh, good. I'm in now in elite great company. I thought I was only in my own category, but at least I have some company to go along with. That's good. I need a partner in crime.
201-939-4513. Mike is in Pennsylvania. Mike, you're up next. What's up, buddy?
Hi, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, Mike. How are you?
First of all, before I get to what I wanted to talk about, oh my goodness, can we please put a cap on the Will Hill talk now? He's no longer a New York Giant. He screwed up. He made his bed. Now he has to lie in it. All I hear about it, he's balling out. He's a baller. He's a baller. Yeah, for six games a year. He couldn't be depended on, and that's the bottom line. What I wanted to talk about today was just the New York Giants in general. I am really, really expecting big things from this team this year. I mean, Eli Manning, with the season, we had no running game last year. You know, we couldn't pass protect. Eli's getting sacked 30 times, you know. I think with the offensive line additions that we brought in this year and the running backs, I mean, you can almost fall forward and gain more yards than you did last year. And I also think the big plus is that a lot of people are overlooking is the fact that the Giants were stale. Their offense the past few seasons was very stale. I think people knew what we were all about. And I think with Ben McAdoo coming in this year and installing a new system is going to throw a lot of people off. Nobody has any tape on us. Yeah, they can go back and look at some Green Bay games. But I'm sure they're going to install some wrinkles in the sitting in the new system. And I don't know. I just think the Giants are going to have a good year this year. They plugged a lot of holes. If you look at the defensive line inefficiencies that we seem to have in some places, I think secondary is going to totally make up for that and allow those guys to get some more sacks than they did last year just because of the coverage that we're going to be able to put on teams this year. And I also think that the most important thing this year is the fact I keep hearing on television and a lot of people, oh, it doesn't usually work when you bring in a lot of different free agents. It usually doesn't work. But you got to think, the Giants, all of the Giants, are learning the exact same thing at the same time this year. It's all new to everybody. You know, and I just want to get your opinions on how you feel about how our new offense is going to go this year.
Well, Mike, I'll say this. Remember, they're all learning the same thing at the same time on offense. On defense, where they actually had more free agent additions, that's the same system as last year. So that's a little bit different. I will say this about the offensive line. For one, it's going to be better in two spots. You're going to be better at center, and you're going to be better at left guard. Do we know the Giants are going to be better at left tackle? I don't. Who knows what Will Beatty's going to do if and when he gets healthy? Do I think Charles Brown and James Brewer will be better than what Beatty was last year? No, I don't. I think they're the same caliber of player. You know, they're a reason that they, you know, nobody wants to start those guys. And we don't know about right guard. I would be great if Chris Neat can stay healthy. I think he looks great so far in the spring, but can he stay healthy once they start, you know, playing with contact? I don't have the answer to that question. So do I think the Giants' offensive line is going to be better? Yeah. Do I think it's going to be a dominant unit this year? I'm not willing to go that far quite yet.
But I think that what you were alluding to, Mike, with all that John said, and I agree with his synopsis of the offensive line, it can't get any worse because they were pretty much at rock bottom.
That's true.
When it comes to protecting Eli Manning and when it comes to a non-existent running game. So I agree. I think there's reason for optimism because there's change. And they manipulated the roster and they brought in some new bodies. So from that perspective, you're right. I think things will improve. And I like the fact that Ben McAdoo's system is not based on, let's just go for the home run. let's maybe try to utilize the running backs in open space. Let's try to use the wide receivers on some short passes. And that is a better fit also for this personnel group. And that should help for a little bit more fluidity on offense. So I think things are headed in the right direction. But with that being said, as John pointed out, Mike, you still have some question marks. You still have some guys that are trying to return from injury. So it's not necessarily smooth sailing, but there has been strides that have been made based on the level that they were performing in Week 17 against the Redskins last year.
I agree. And by the way, I'm trying to find here. See, all these Arizona Rattlers signing Will
Hill
tweets.
That was a 2011 press release.
2011.
The one that I just looked at, I confirmed.
I can't find anything that's more recent, to be quite honest with you.
I do not believe that he re-signed with the Arena football team. I think he's still out on the market at this point.
Multiple people have told me that he has, but I can't find it anywhere, to be quite honest with you. I can't. I don't know where the most recent story is on that, but I can't find it.
Do the Arizona Rattlers have a website? Let's see. I'm going to go to their actual official website, see if maybe they updated.
AZRattlers.com, baby.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything. I mean, the website has their 2013 lineup. Hasn't even updated anything for 2014. So I don't know how often they update their content, but right now, I mean, there is no confirmation that I'm seeing online. If somebody, though, listening to program does have confirmation online, send John or I a tweet or send it into hashtag Giants Chat, because, I mean, we'd be more than happy to confirm it here on this program. But everything that I've been searching for, I have not seen at least anything tied to 2014. I've seen 2011 content with Will Hill's name connected to that squad.
Oh, I see. So their 2014 schedule and results is updated, but they haven't put in the score yet for May 31st. They need to, you know, get on top of that a little bit.
That PR group. Maybe Nile's running the operations over there. We seem to be ripping him apart this morning. So
open season on him.
It is.
And,
might as well
add
more.
It's totally unfair. He didn't actually do anything today. I don't even know why. It just seems like an easy target. He's not here.
Well, what's
not
different than any other day when it comes? Sorry. You opened up Pandora's box. So if I hear it from him,
and it was
I'm blaming you.
It was completely unwarranted, too.
Correct.
I'll admit that. Dave from Rochester. If Charlie's nickname is Lobster Boy, then Paul Dottino's nickname should be Grandpa Snooky.
A reference to the MTV show.
And Dottino's tan.
Yes. Just wanted to make sure that everybody who's listening understands the pop culture references.
I think most
people.
Well,
you never know.
Know
I mean, Len on his rocking chair, I can understand.
Len,
is up
the way
to date.
He's at the
correct,
sun
yes,
on.
But I don't know. I mean, listen, we don't know the demographics of everybody who listens to this program. Come on.
Len,
you sit
everyone.
Home and study every night with Nile and track each and every hit
not
that we get on the website.
Not everyone is as ignorant in terms of pop culture as you are.
Wait a minute. I knew what he was talking about. I'm the ignorant one.
Snooki, come on. She's been around for like half a decade now.
Well, some people have bigger priorities to focus on than going on the internet every 5 seconds and worry about reality television.
Well, here's the unfortunate thing about Snooki. Even if you tried to avoid it and
her here we go.
In every possible way, which I did, you couldn't help but notice her. Those dopes were everywhere. Right or wrong?
No, they were. I'm not going to deny that. But still, there are some people that don't necessarily live on social media and the internet.
TV? The beach?
Yeah, you go to the beach and then all of a sudden you pass Snooki. Yeah, that's a tremendous story to pass along here. No matter what beach you are at throughout the United States, Snooki is luring from the background.
In fairness, if she is on the beach, she like probably glows and bronzers, which is probably tough to miss.
Well, that's something that Paul Dottino can relate to, obviously. The shine just right off.
201-939-4513. Roldy is in Bayshore. Roldy, you're up next. What's up, bud?
Good morning, John. Good morning, Lance.
Hey,
how you guys?
Roldy, how are you?
Good, good, good. You know, this show is all about, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, we may not agree with it, but that's why it's an opinion. You know, for that guy, the last caller yesterday, to call and be disrespectful, there was no reason to be disrespectful, you know, to my man Shakes and Steve in D.C. Say your opinion, and that's it. Don't name drop and then be disrespectful. You know, so I didn't agree with that last call. I understand it is passion, but don't be name dropping and being disrespectful at the same time. Say your opinion. You know, we'll respect that. You should do the same thing for the other callers. But the main reason why I wanted to give a call is, you know, I'm rooting for and I'm praying for David Wilson. I mean, he seems like a very humble guy. I mean, I'm watching his press conference, and he was so excited before the appointment. You know, he seems like a very nice person, down-to-earth guy that I'm praying for this guy to get clearance from his doctors and get back on the field and really show what he can do, you know, what he can do, how he can be a difference maker in the running game. So I would like to see, you know, everything goes well for him because he seems like a very nice guy. But is it me, but does it seem like Adrian Robinson looks like he's, like, he put on a little bit more weight on him, or is it just me?
Well, AJ Robinson did say in his first media avail this offseason that he's trying to drop some weight. So, yeah, I guess AJ Robinson is a little bit heavier than they want him to be, which, frankly,
he looks very heavy.
I agree. I don't think he looks that smooth running around out there. I think he lumbers a little bit. And for a guy to, you know, be overweight in a year that's make or break for him, I don't think there's much of an excuse for that, to be quite honest with you.
Wow, damn, man. Yeah, when I saw him do that nice catch over the middle, I was just like, damn, he looks freaking – he looks overweight, you know.
Well, you put him through an entire training camp, though. I'm sure he's going to shed some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I'm excited about this new offense. I mean, from what I was seeing, it looks like they're starting to do a wide receiver screen, or was I looking at something else? But, you know, I kind of got excited by seeing that and seeing these, running backs, you know, they're doing the screens and everything. So I'm kind of excited about that.
They have been running a lot of screens in practice, no doubt about it. And by the way, really quickly, Sonny Boy on Twitter posted that same press release that you found. That's old. However, I will say this. Avery on the Arena Football website has a list of transactions for the Rattlers. And on 6-4 of this year, they say they 6-3 of this year, they activated Will Hill from their like inactive list, but then he refused to report on the 4th. So I'm not sure how that works.
We don't know the CBA of the Arena Football League, but we'll get back to you on that.
That is correct.
That's cool. I got a dilemma here, guys. I need your help on this. You know, I'm thinking about getting another jersey, but it's between three guys: Antoine Roe, John Beeson, or Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not sure if I want to get, you know, Antoine Roe, because you know how the Giants are, you know what I mean? Went to your cap, you know, you're getting paid a lot, and then they'll let you, you know, sign somewhere else, they'll just release you. So I'm not sure if they're going to keep Antoine Roe. Beeson and Beckham, I'm not even sure. Who would you guys pick out of those three?
Well, in terms of stability, since Beeson just signed a new contract and he really helped resurrect the defense, I mean, if you're looking for a guy that you know at least for the next few years will more than likely be in a Giants uniform, I'd probably go towards Beeson. Beckham is exciting, but we still don't know what we're going to get out of him.
Exactly.
Because he hasn't played a game. And then Roll, clearly with the contract situation still being played out, you don't know what his future is going to be. So based on stability, I would go with John Beeson.
What about you, John?
I think Beeson's the sure thing. I mean, so I would agree. Here's the issue. You never know how healthy Beeson's going to stay. So you sit here.
That's the thing that's on my mind, too.
Well, you know, I'll say this. Number one, I'd say Roll with the contract is too much of a risk because you never know. You know, he could ask for a lot of money. Economics might get in the way, even if the Giants want to bring him back. Money-wise, maybe it won't work out. Beeson with the injuries scare me. With Beckham, at least you know on the rookie contract he's going to be here for 4 or 5 years.
4 years.
So
yeah, right.
You'll at least get that amount out of it if you go with Beckham.
All right.
Well, Rodi, you need to ask yourself, though, are you more of a defensive guy or an offensive guy?
Great
How
point.
About that?
Remember, too, Beckham also
the thing
be
is,
special.
I'm equal. I have defensive guys. I have offensive guys, you know. But it doesn't matter to me. You know?
See, Rodi, here's the problem with Beckham. How many times in the past few years have the Giants drafted somebody, you're all excited, then you see him play, he's not what you expect, and you actually end up not liking him because he doesn't meet the expectations that you have in your own head? So do you want to have this kid's jersey? What happens if Beckham underachieves even for a year or two? It takes him a little bit of while to, you know, kind of adjust to the NFL and become a top wide receiver in the league. Then you're stuck wearing his jersey, and you're annoyed every time you put it on because you're like, I got to put on this underachiever's jersey here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Roll, my advice would be don't buy a jersey yet. Get into the season a little bit. Why don't you get through the first month? Check back in with us at the end of September at the 4 games. We can evaluate how the season's gone so far, and we can find you a good player to get their jersey of.
Or, Roldy, you could just purchase a Giants polo, and I'll be more than happy to tape Schmelk's name on the back of it for you, too. You know, that's at least the fallback
that's
option.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that would. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
You got it, Roldy.
By the way, I've heard on Giants.com they're also starting to sell Lance Meadow inscribed high chairs. For,
really? Nice.
For children.
Jason in Montreal got behind that. I thought you were going to say they're going to sell extra small polos just for me, too. I thought you were going to go in that direction. But, you could have went in a variety of places. You chose the high chair.
They also
What about bibs, too? Can we get a bib?
Onesies.
Okay.
They have Lance Meadow onesies on the website.
Wow. What about Giants Huggies, too? Are those in pre-production yet? The boxes are being shipped to the facility as we speak.
Oh, I have something really mean I could say.
I know you are,
but I'm not. Oh,
oh
my goodness.
Okay, maybe not me.
No, it wasn't you. It was somebody else, but I won't say it.
Nice to be a change of pace.
Yeah, I know. It is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. I think I'm just going to let Shakes yell at Lance here because I'm sure he's annoyed at him. Shakes, go ahead.
No, I ain't annoyed about no one. What's up, y'all?
What's up, Shakes?
How we doing, Shakes?
I'm all right. Yesterday was crazy because I was planning on calling in with you, Lance. I wanted to chime in, but I had woke up late, and I woke up just in time to jump on the Shakedown. So right before I jumped on, I look on my Twitter, everybody like,
it
did
exploded.
You hear this guy called you a stupid SOB? And I'm like, what? What? So I went on the show. I didn't even hear it, so I had to wait till after the show. And I was like, whatever. You know, guy sounded like a low-budget Tony Soprano to me. I mean, he was like, you got to take him in the back and give him a smock. I was like, wow, my man want to smack him up for him smoking a blunt. Woo! Ah, that's serious. But, yeah, man, it was a funny caller, and I ain't even mad at him, man.
There we go. See, it's all about entertainment, Shakes.
Correct.
I think you took it the right way. I like that.
Yeah. Whatever, guy. Sound like he was about to cough up a lung anyway, so he got more problems. But, I wanted to see if you checked out the guy, the linebacker that I was talking about, Angra.
Pat Angra, for you mean the former Colt who you brought up, I remember, a few days ago.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that he's had somewhat of an injury history. He has been a starter because of some other injuries that the Colts dealt with. You have to go back to like 2010 and 11, and he's still out there. So, I mean, he is an option on the market, and it would make sense if the Giants want to add some depth at linebacker, but I still get back to the injury history.
And
that would be the red flag.
And here's the big red flag. He had microfracture surgery recently, Shakes. He's still not even ready to play or practice. And in early April, there was a report he's still a few months away from even conducting workouts with teams. So this guy's not even close to being ready to play football.
And that answers my question of why he's still available.
Exactly.
And, Shakes, I'll let you continue. I don't mean to cut you off. It's just related to this. I wanted to just make a statement about what some other callers had thrown out. And I know everybody's tired of talking about Will Hill, but it gets back to reliability. And reliability is not just about whether you get suspended. It's also about whether or not you can stay healthy. And based on what the Giants had to go through over the last few seasons with players getting hurt left and right, they're at the point heading into this season, they need to bring in players that they know with full confidence could go out there for 16 games and have a good track record. So, you know, yesterday I got into it with Charlie in Maine. He brought up Terrell Thomas, why the Giants didn't re-sign him, and I was talking about Terrell Thomas could barely practice week to week. So it's not just about whether you're a good character guy on and off the field, it's about whether or not you can stay healthy. So if we keep talking about this guy is a red flag with an injury, this guy has not been able to stay on the field for X amount of games, there's no purpose of bringing them into the Giants mix considering what they dealt with over the last few years.
Yeah, I get that. But don't y'all think we should add another linebacker, more preferably a middle linebacker, because I just don't want to depend on Mark Herzlich or a rookie, you know, taking Beeson's spot if, you know, say he had to, you know, miss a couple games, you know, God forbid.
Well, I understand that there is concern if you had to throw a rookie in the mix, but I think that you have some guys within the linebacking core that have some versatility in the positions that they've played in. You know, Devon Kennard is the one guy who you were at least referencing who I think has been moved around over the course of his USC career that, you know, I think they're having him play multiple positions so he gains some comfort within the Giants system. And, you know, Jameel McClain is another guy that you may not want to throw into the middle spot, but he's at least a veteran veteran, in a pinch, you can move him around, and he's been very vocal, at least on the practice field, too, so that bodes well for
and
him.
And, Shakes, you also have undrafted free agent Dan Fox, who played inside at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He's a guy that could get a look at middle linebacker, too. And from what I understand, there are some people out there within the organization and outside the organization that thinks he could be a pretty decent player inside, too.
Oh, man, that's J-Rock God. I was about to bring him up, John. And, Lance, I like what you just said about McClain because I wasn't even thinking of that option. But
yeah,
he
great point
did
too.
Place a middle linebacker in Baltimore.
Correct,
so
yeah.
You're definitely right, Lance. I like that
Those Shakes, remember, Baltimore plays at 3-4, so it's not technically middle linebacker, but he did play inside there.
Exactly, and I mean it's not the same, but it is similar, and it'll make it easier for him to pick up if he has to.
Correct, because he's an experienced vet as opposed to just throwing a rookie in there.
And Chase, I will say this too: watching McClain at practice, he's extremely vocal. You know, he's really a John Beeson's wingman out there. He communicates, he sees things, he calls out adjustments and audibles a lot. So I think mentally, he'd be a guy that could play that spot too.
I mean, come on, look who his mentor was: Ray Lewis.
Exactly. No, you're right.
So, I mean, of course, that's going to be there. That vocal thing, he learns from Ray Lewis. You know, he's going to bring that attitude to the Giants linebacker core. I just hope he stays healthy.
I agree, Shakes. Thanks for the call, buddy. Anything else for us?
Yeah, one thing. I also saying that Winston and Bryant McKinney is also available. What do y'all think about those two guys? And then, you know.
I could see them being mid-training camp veteran pickups if they see Will Beatty can't come back and be healthy.
Well, you don't think they should try that out now? Because, I mean, Beatty don't look like he's going to be all right. And it looks like he might have to go on PUP. And if he got to go on PUP, we're going to have to do a lot of shifting. I don't want to do that.
I'll say this, Shakes. If they really think Beatty's going to have to go on PUP, I would definitely bring in another veteran left tackle. I agree with you.
Yeah, which one do you like better, though, McKinney or Winston?
Winston's a little younger, right, if I'm not mistaken?
I think he is.
But I think Winston's more – isn't Winston more of a right tackle these days than a left tackle? Am I wrong about that?
I think he plays very well at left tackle.
You know what? I haven't done enough work on both guys. Let me take a look at it. I like Winston because he's a little bit younger. I think McKinney's older. He stepped in and did a pretty good job as a midseason pickup last year. I forget who picked him up.
Well, he was traded to the Miami Dolphins.
That's right.
And they moved Michael Orr and him around in Baltimore prior to him being traded.
Yep.
So, you know, he can play both sides of the offensive line. Injury is somewhat of a concern when it comes to McKinney, too. So I would probably lean on the younger guy who can be a little bit more reliable. But, you know, if you need a veteran in a pinch who is familiar with at least being thrown into a system, I would give McKinney the edge under those circumstances.
Yeah, and, you know, for the first 6 weeks, McKinney holding it down, I ain't upset at that.
Thanks, Shakes.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
A couple of other items from Twitter, Lance, want to bring up real quick. Nathaniel at Pint 1998, he spotted that thing on the Arena Football website as well. Thank you for that. And then Martin Johansson makes an excellent point, and this is to Roldy, who's debating what jersey he should get. Wait to get a Beckham jersey until you know what number he's going to be 100% when the season starts. And that's true. Because while he's number 13 now, and he wanted to be number 3, I believe, but that number's not a number he's going to get here with the Giants. He might change his number again if, you know, players get cut and another number becomes available. You never know. So that's 100% right. Roldy, do not get the Beckham jersey now. Do not. Because wait to see if his number changes. Now, remember, too, after their rookie year, these numbers change from
times.
Matthias Kiwanuka changed his number from 97 to 94, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't that what it was? He was 97, he went to 94? Or 96 to 94? I forget. He definitely changed his number. I forget what it was. He had a number change. David Wilson had a number change from his rookie year to his second year. Spencer Paysinger changed his number 3 different times. So these guys do change their number. So let them settle in first before you get the jersey.
Because if a new player comes into the mix and they are associated with that number, they may work out a deal behind closed doors. Just following up on Shake's point about the two offensive linemen, also wanted to clarify because he just threw out the last name. He was referring to Eric Winston, who is actually the president of the Players Association right now. And Winston is 30. Bryant McKinney is 34, just to give you an idea in terms of the age difference. Winston spent last season with the Cardinals. Prior to that, he was with the Chiefs, really made a name for himself with the Texans. That's where he started his career. And McKinney, as I mentioned, was with the Dolphins and the Ravens during periods of time last season. So if you want to go in the youth angle, you go with Winston. McKinney's a little bit older, but they're both experienced in terms of playing on both sides of the tackle spot.
How about this for Mike Farmer? This kid's the kiss of death when it comes to jerseys. He owns Burris, Bradshaw, OC, Knicks, Tuck, Shockey, Jacobs, Ike Hilliard.
Does he have one current Giant jersey?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That is the kiss of death. Peyton Hillis doesn't have a shot.
Bad news. Somebody may want to have a conversation with Peyton Hillis.
Get Mike Farmer off of your team, man.
I was going to say, maybe he should try a different position at this point. Maybe go with the punter or the kicker. And I understand there's been some turnover with kicker, but Weatherford's been here for at least some time.
Rashad Jennings, another suggestion somebody threw out there, which isn't bad.
Signed a multi-year contract.
Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is going to be here for a while. And he looks, let me tell you, he looks great in practice, too. Really fast. Victor Cruz. If you want to get somebody that's going to be here for a long time, if you don't have it already, get the Cruz.
I think that's probably the best player to go with in terms of security.
And honestly, even better than Eli. Eli's contract is up in 2 years, folks. Coming off two pretty bad years. One awful, one average.
And I was going to throw out maybe Prince, but Prince only had one other option picked up, so you don't know necessarily his long-term future, too.
Same with JPP.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, Victor, you have some stability there. That definitely makes some sense. Rashad Jennings was just added, so that also would make some sense.
If you like
well.
Offensive line, Justin Pugh. I think he'll be a
young guy who's on a rookie contract.
If you like the O-line?
If there's one guy to pinpoint on the offensive line, I'd probably go with Justin Pugh.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Schwartz just signed, but, you know, you don't know.
Pugh's a draft pick. He played well.
Right.
I would go with Pugh. Go with Victor. Defense is tough because, you know, there has been a lot of turnover. You don't know who's going to be here. I think your safest long-term defender to get would be Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, honestly. Based on health and age and
Thurman
the length of the contract.
Thurman signed a one-year deal, so yeah. That's risky.
You know, Hankins, they tend to, you know, turn over these defensive tackles a lot.
Jenkins is a veteran. He's up there.
DeMonte Moore isn't giving you enough.
And in terms of the linebackers, we threw out Beeson. Outside of that, though, you know, I don't know if there's going to be somebody that's going to really hold down a job long term.
Now, if you get the Rodgers-Cromartie jersey, too, that's a very long name on the back of the jersey. It's probably going to go, like, onto your shoulders, the name, because it's
correct.
So long. Which can be a little awkward sometimes. Remember Jared Saltalamacchia's Red Sox jersey? It would go from, like, sleeve to sleeve.
So if you basically want to make a style statement, that may not be the best
right,
option.
Right, exactly.
I think the riskiest position to buy a jersey, if we're to break it down, is tight end. Good luck there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only position that I would say stay away from if you're talking about the New York Giants. Any other position, you probably at least have one guy that you could point to is safe.
No, other than Beeson at linebacker, there's been such a revolving
Well, but all we're looking
door.
For is one guy.
Eh,
you got
true.
One guy at corner. You have one guy at the linebacker spot. You have one guy at the defensive line. Because even though Hankins, you don't know, I think Hankins is at least safe for – at least another couple of years.
Here's the problem.
Given his rookie
safety.
Contract.
No one signed long-term there. They're good players, but nobody signed long-term. Let's go and get the Nat Burney.
And even
jersey.
When you get with the rookie contracts, you don't know necessarily whether they'll make the roster.
Exactly.
Okay, so safety, though, I'd still put behind tight end.
How about fullback? You got a 50-50 shot on the two guys competing.
Now, there's not a great deal of depth at that position to begin with, unlike other positions where you at least have multiple options.
You always just get the throwback Madison Hedgecock jersey.
True. You could do that. That's always a bet. I'm surprised Mike Farmer doesn't own that jersey, considering he's the king of former Giant jerseys.
It's true. All right, we got two more callers. We'll take you, then we'll say goodbye. Alan in D.C. is next. Alan, what's up, pal?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Alan.
How we doing, Alan?
Doing pretty well, man. Never got to say a congratulations to John for his engagement and his marriage. I want to throw that in there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm a newlywed myself. Got married in late September of this last past year. And,
very nice. Well, congrats to you.
Things change, brother. Let me tell you that right now. Things change.
No, you know what, Alan? Obviously, honestly, I want to
exactly
lay this out.
This is great. I'm going to sit back for this debate.
Look,
thank you.
Let's do this. We have already lived together for 2 years on June 1st.
Yeah.
So we already know what it's like to be in the same apartment. We already know what it's like to be in a fairly small space at the same time for an extended period of time. So okay. That isn't really going to
change. And she's received a medal for that.
Yeah, she has. No worse. Right. So I really don't think our like living situation and the way we interact with each other is going to change a whole lot, to be honest with you.
Right, and that's exactly my frame of mind when I walked into this thing. Exactly. You know what changes, brother? Nobody tells you this. I'm going to give you a little bit of advice right here. What changes everything is
the paperwork.
Joint accounts.
No.
See what I tell you.
We're keeping separate bank accounts.
Wow, look
already
at that.
Already decided.
That's the thing. See, that's maybe my wife's where we got off on the wrong foot. When things changed, when we started getting joint accounts, everything started being joint, right? Taxes were joint, our checking accounts were joint, everything started. And then, I'd be getting, like, random little text messages at the end of the day or, like, you know, while I'm at work and say, oh, you had a nice lunch. You know, I'm like,
See, that's bad.
Like,
that's bad.
$60 at lunch? Wait, what'd you get me? You know, stuff like that, nobody warns you about. And, you know, I'm just giving you a heads up, man, because
that's good advice.
I appreciate
that. That you never fight about. Like, she never even knew about my long lunch or whatever. Stuff's coming up, you know what I mean? And then we have little discussions about that, and it goes a long way. I'm just giving you, like, you know, a little bit of insight.
No, Alan, that is great advice, and I appreciate it. And, look, I agree that, you know, even though you're married, there still should be some level of individual privacy, I'll say. And, you know, there isn't anything to be looking at the credit card bill every day and spying on your spouse to see what they see what they spent that day.
Now, Alan, in Schmelk's defense, fortunately, the Giants provide lunch for him each and every day. So I don't think she'll ever be questioning his lengthy, expensive lunches.
Okay. Well, you know, just be careful. That's all you gotta take. You know,
I appreciate
that. Now she understands how many. Now she knows how much money I really spend on football tickets and paraphernalia. And it's like crazy because like stuff like I bought my tickets to go see. You know, I'm going to the opening game.
Nice.
And now she gets to see how much I'm spending on the hotel, how much I'm spending on my airline, how much I'm spending on the ticket.
You're spending that on a football game? Are you crazy?
Yeah, she's like, you know, we need new curtains. What are you doing? You know, like, so stuff like that, you know, that I'm just wondering.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, stuff like that, like, it comes out of nowhere, you know? But let's get back to the Giants.
Yeah.
How's my man Wilson doing, man? Like, I know that he didn't clear or whatever he was supposed to clear. What does that mean? Is he going to have another MRI sometime, or what's going on with that?
Well, he's going to have one next month, and they're optimistic. They're hoping that he'll be cleared to take contact during training camp. The test showed progress, but he's not yet at the point where they're comfortable allowing him to take contact. That's pretty much what the latest status is regarding David Wilson. But the next date is next month. He will be getting another test right before training camp.
Okay, man. I just hope he's all right, man. I hope he can do what he does best, you know, and I hope we see some flips this year, you know.
Well, I don't know if we want to see any flips, to be honest with you, Alan. That'd be the last thing on the agenda for him.
Well, I just wanted to – I was referring to touchdowns, you know what I mean? I want to see him out there, you know. I'm also disappointed about the Hosby kid, man, and, you know, the whole Will Hill. I mean, he's been probably talked to death by now, but, you know, it's a business, man. And, you know, I work in a very, very professional environment myself, and – you know, I'm the manager of a bunch of people. So, you know, one person sees, you know, the leeway that you give another person. And no matter how good they are at what they do, you know, there are repercussions to every, you know, there's an action and there's a reaction, you know, to everything. And, you know, he just made the wrong choices, you know, and he made the wrong choices many times. You know, I'm not trying to call out nobody, but Steve, I'm sorry, man. You got to let him go, man, because, you know, like, that old motto is, like, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, whatever that is, man, but it's fool me three times, man. You can't – at some point, yeah, it just becomes redundant. All the other employees will look around and be like, what is this? You know, he gets, like, VIP treatment. As crazy as it was, the whole Dallas, Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant babysitting scandal that they did on him.
It worked.
You know what I mean? So while a lot of people, when it happened, were calling and making fun of Dez Bryant because he can't do it, I mean, maybe we should have done something like that for Will Hill. I mean, maybe we should have gave him daily urine samples. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't cost very much, and they're not very hard to do. I mean, you pee every day. So, I mean, it's like...
Well, I'm glad you clarified that. I was a little unsure where you were going with that, Alan, but thank you.
You know, some people have, large bladders, I guess. But I'm just letting you know, it's not a very expensive thing. You know, I thought at first, I was like, yeah, he's kind of like stupid. These guys can take care of themselves. But then, you know, stuff like this happens, you know, and you look at it like as a business standpoint, you're like, yeah, let me invest in my player, not just give him a big contract and incentives, but let me also give him criteria. And, you know, I know the league can't impose certain things, but the team can. And if, you know, Coughlin and those guys in the top want, you know, their best players who may have these, you know, the history of having, you know, whatever it is, drugs related or, you know, other, like, you know, problems, whether it be, you know, all, you know, bad friends or whatever the case may be, you know, they need special attention. And, you know, sometimes that is just the way it is. It's just the way the world works. So, I mean, I think Jerry Jones is brilliant for that. I mean, everybody made fun of the Dez Bryant. Yeah, he got a nanny and he can't go to strip clubs and he can't spend this much cash or whatever it was, but it worked. And he's out of trouble. He's going to be playing. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, Will Hill is a shame because, you know, he had all the tools in the world and like, you know, he's just throwing it away for weed, you know. And, you know, I'm pro-green. You know, I think it's no less harmful than alcohol. But, you know, when you're in a professional environment and they tell you you can't do that, well, then you got to stop, man. If you had to tell me, look, here's a brick of the best green, or here's a contract for $5 million, say whatever they get paid, you know what I'm choosing? You know, without even question. You know, that these guys had those opportunities, had those chances, and they're just picking the wrong one. And if they can't see it, like, the first time, and they can't see it the second time, and they can't see it the third time, there is no guarantee they will see it the fourth time. And I'm sorry, Shakes. I'm sorry, Steve. How you guys feel, I understand, because I have a Will Hill jersey, you know what I'm saying? And so I'll just like y'all, but at the same time, you know, I understand as a business mind, you can't let that walk. You know, you can't let that walk no matter how good he is. And, you know, I just want to throw that out there because, you know, a lot of people who say, you know, he's so talented. Yeah, he is, but that only goes so far. When you're setting bad examples, look at Hosley. What does that say to him, you know? And, you know, what if he balls out after the first four games? Does he mean he could get away with it again next year?
Exactly.
No, I mean,
well, that's why you want to set an example and make sure that it doesn't become a trend. And it's a great point that you brought up, Alan. And listen, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in this morning. And that's where you need to cut your ties. You need to make it clear to the rest of the roster, we're not going to let this continue. And that's a big reason why they parted ways with Will Hill. And what Alan was talking about, and a number of you have brought up, everybody is looking at the whole marijuana debate from a societal standpoint. And the conversation has changed about marijuana use in this country. I would agree wholeheartedly with everyone who takes that point. A lot of states have obviously legalized it, and you're allowed to sell it and consume it. I understand that. But you can't look at that side of the argument. You have to look at it from the private enterprise. And the NFL is a private enterprise, and they have their own rules and their own regulations, and they have not necessarily caught up to the liberal view of society right now. So under NFL rules and regulations, you cannot intake marijuana. If you do and you test positive, you're going to be suspended. So I understand that, oh, well, if you're in this state, you're allowed to use it. But to me, that's irrelevant. It doesn't relate to this part of the argument.
I make Lance Menno pee in a cup every morning before he does
the
show.
There you go. Very strict testing before you even walk in the door.
Well, especially since that now Quest Diagnostics is our big sponsor here for the training facility. Those are the type of tests that they do.
Got to take advantage of the resources here.
By the way, do you know a Stephen Macri online?
Yes.
Did you like send him a chat?
I don't know. I haven't really been paying close attention to Twitter. I've been doing a bad job.
He's giving
today.
You.
I've been listening to the phone calls.
He's giving you unmitigated praise here. I don't like that.
Well, you know, you're the one always getting a pat on the back here and there, so it's nice for us to spread the wealth once in a while.
Who's Steve Macri?
Well, he's a colleague in another outlet.
Sirius?
Yes.
Or Columbia?
What is this? The X's and O's of the debates?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sirius.
He's a producer? What is he? What does he do?
Well, he was an intern at one point.
Oh, so he's bootlicking. Is that what he's doing?
I mean, we're reading into tweets
he's
now.
He's kissing your fan.
Boy, we're really
to get a job
taking
somewhere.
The show to
That's
a whole
what he's
degree.
Doing. Okay. Well, if somebody just comes out, it's good to hear. You
Notice
know.
If you opened the profile, you would have found out that information.
Yeah,
but
I'd rather talk
you know,
about it on the
laziness that you showcased during the course of the morning
well.
Is well evident.
Now that I'm verified, I don't click on anybody's names. That's
here we
that
go.
That is not an
unverified Oh, we had to
Twitter.
Address that on the program. Oh, I'm stunned that you did not make that publicly known on a previous program. Yes, John Schmelk has a check mark next to his name on Twitter. It is one of the very few accomplishments that everybody strives for in life. So we all bow down and put him up on a pedestal. The elusive check mark that we are all desperately in search of.
And what happened for you when you tried to get the check mark?
The search is still continuing. We'll leave it at that. That is an open-ended answer right there. That doesn't mean that the debate has ended, and that doesn't mean that the check mark will never come to fruition right now. It's in the investigative process. See, Twitter does careful background checks for certain people. Others, they just, you know, give it out to.
Or maybe I didn't require a background check because I'm so well-known.
Well, I heard through the rumorville that there was some inner workings behind back doors and back channels.
No.
As to how that check mark came about. But we'll leave that for another day and time.
There was an email sent.
Okay. Oh, now we're getting to the truth here.
Well, yeah, but there was...
So there was a little push.
There was
somebody
also,
had to tap the behind of somebody else to get them to
There was also an email sent on your behalf, and you were still shut down.
Once again, there's some politics that are involved in the situation.
No.
There's politics.
The email, first of all, wasn't even sent by somebody else. It was sent by me.
Oh, they you sent the email. See, I did not know that. Now I'm even finding out more and more details about it.
They asked me what my role was. I told them what I did. Didn't hear anything for a day or two. Logged on one morning. Check mark was
Now, there. I was told that you Done. Aren't allowed to do that. That Twitter, if you do background checks and homework, and I'm being serious here, Twitter actually does not have protocol, I thought, in place where you can request to get the check mark. They just randomly look at people and so forth, and then as they do their research, then they add the check mark.
I think certain businesses, like NFL teams, like newspapers and
can
such.
Can request that stuff?
I believe
okay.
they can.
Did not realize that.
That's how I understand it. But you still have to reach a certain level before the
Oh, here
check.
We go. Yes, the number has to reach a certain threshold.
All right, final call
so
of the
glad
show.
That we clarified
Rolando
that.
And Fresh Metals. Rolando, you're up next. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Johnny boy. How are you? How you doing, Lan?
Doing well.
How about yourself?
Thank God. Good. Okay, I want to touch on Hosley a little bit, and I think his premier competition was Thurman. I think now, given the circumstances with the first strike, I think it's Jackson. I think if he outperforms Jackson during the preseason, thank God we have it, we're going to see where he sits in terms of the chart. If he can't outbeat Jackson, then I think I'll see him being cut. But if I see him outbeat Jackson during the preseason, Johnny, then I think we might give him another chance in terms of bringing him back, because we got to think about next year as well as this year. And one of the things that I know a lot of the fans are saying in terms of Will Hill, it's just the future of us, our team. You know, it's a check mark in which we don't have to worry about that position. Now, here we go back now, and we got to concentrate on, okay, safety and another corner and you know, offensive line. I want to throw this out at you, Johnny and Lance. How do you guys feel about these three guys and bringing them back in terms of free agents? David Boss on a minimum.
He isn't healthy yet.
Oh, okay. Just hear me out, bro. More at guard than center.
Okay.
He's still not healthy. I didn't know that. You know how I feel about Kevin Williams. Bringing in Kevin Williams a little bit above minimum in terms of supporting defensive tackle for the run support. And Finley in terms of giving competition in terms of tight end and a little bit above minimum.
Finley, I agree with. I think Finley would be a good move. I think, honestly, in terms of the bulk of defensive tackle, I like the young guys here, whether it's Bromley, whether it's Marcus Kuhn, whether it's Jonathan Hankins. I think the Giants have enough to stuff that run with those three guys. I got to be honest with you.
Keep in mind about Kevin Williams, the former Vikings defensive tackle. He's got a history of suspensions and everything, too. And that's the last thing I think the Giants want to bring in.
Okay, it's suspension in what, Lance? I didn't know that.
He was using a substance. I don't remember if it was performance enhancer. I believe it was a performance enhancer. And then he actually even tried to go through a detailed appeals process because it was multiple Vikings that were involved in that situation.
I remember that. That's
right. But he did not win his appeal. So that, once again, it's not as if that happened yesterday. I'll give you that. But given the track record, given the circumstances surrounding Will Hill and Hostley, that would not be the first guy on the list for the Giants.
Okay. That's news to me. I was just thinking in terms of Boss, I didn't know about his health. I thought he was already healthy. I thought in terms of bringing him in on the cheap end and let him learn the left guard position so that in case Beatty doesn't come back, is Schwartz can play left tackle, right?
Schwartz is more of a guard right now in the Giants' plans, but you're right. He does have experience at tackle. Yes, he can play both slots, guard and tackle. He has that versatility.
But I'm thinking in terms of a shift. I'm in terms of security, you know, I've spoken with John before, and I thought Pugh would be there by now. I really thought Pugh would be there. And I thought when we picked up this other offensive tackle after we let go of Josh Freeman, this 6'6", 334 pound offensive tackle, I thought, ooh, there goes the right tackle to replace Pugh at right tackle, and we could swing Pugh to left tackle, his natural position. And that's my, you know, my dream. You know,
well, but let me, I don't mean to cut you off, I'll let you continue. Here's my concern, and this is what I've thrown out on Twitter and previous programs. The mixing and matching, the game of musical chairs that you're alluding to, that's what happened all of last season, and it didn't necessarily work out. And I understand you're saying, well, we're going to do this before the season even starts, and that makes sense. But let's look at it from this situation. Beatty then comes back off the pup list. Let's say he starts the season on the pup list. Okay, so he's eventually going to come back. So you're going to have to then put him back into the offensive line alignment, or you're not? I mean, you're not going to leave him on the sideline if he's healthy and you have that type of money invested. So you're going to bring him back in left tackle, let's say, two or three, four or five games into the season. Then you're going to have to now move Pugh back to right tackle. Pugh is going to have to get used to playing next to a new guy. Beatty is going to have to then get used to playing next to the left guard, who you hope remains Schwartz. It's so much movement. I would rather, in an ideal world, just replace Beatty at left tackle, keep everybody where they are, and then when Beatty comes back, all you need to do is worry about one adjustment.
Okay, I'm hearing you, and I agree with you in some respect, but to me, it will be in terms of performance. If I see Pugh is able to handle the left tackle position, no matter what, we're going to have to deal with Beatty's money, whether he sits or play, but I don't want to see him play where he's underachieving and we kill Eli.
Well, I'll say this. I think it all depends on how healthy Will Beatty is, and I think they'll have a good feel for that at the start of training camp. I'm sure the Giants have contingency plans in mind if he's not healthy enough to play left tackle at the start of training camp. But if he isn't, I think they'll look long and hard at what you're talking about, putting Pugh there, if they do believe he could be a pup situation.
Okay. And then for you, Johnny Boy.
Yeah.
I've been married for 40 years, and it's best to have somewhat of a separate account, so you could have your own money, and I just wish you all the best and good luck, and that's all I have today.
Thank you, Rolando.
All right, Rolando, appreciate the phone call. Look at this continuous advice for John Schmelk and how his account should be set up.
We got a lot of people here that have a lot more obviously experience in this sort of stuff than I do, so I love to hear from the guys out there to, you know, get their take. But actually, Katie and I were both in agreement with that we both felt it was better that we keep our account separate and not do the joint.
Makes sense if you're used to that.
I also have a complicated tax situation. I do a lot of work on the side, so I have a business account that's linked with my personal, and then if you put her and me together, it's a mess, nevertheless. So
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You could always take money out of one account and shuffle it to another account. That's the beauty of transactions.
I mean, Lance has multiple Swiss bank accounts that
there
he keeps millions in.
Oh, boy, do we have offshore accounts everywhere. I'm not giving away all my secrets here. My skeletons are going to remain in the closet, at least on this program.
I, by the way, never had a chance to officially thank you for the Yes RSVP. Well, we will see you in Des Moines.
Yes, thank you for promoting that on social media, too. It was very important.
Oh, you like that?
Yes, make sure that everybody who is attending the wedding
knows. It wasn't on Twitter. It was just on Facebook.
Oh, I'm not giving you a hard time.
And Facebook is a much more limited.
Yes.
You know.
Limited scope.
Yes, by the way, I've got a lot of caller requests to be friends on Facebook. And I haven't agreed to them. This is not because I don't like you, callers. Facebook I keep as my private page.
Look at this. The rules and regulations. However, you can follow somebody on Facebook now, too. Have you at least taken that into consideration?
Don't you have to have a separate fan page to do that?
No, you can follow a normal account.
I didn't know that.
I'm now teaching you, Mr. Checkmark. You should be on top of this, and I'm teaching you.
I'm not verified on Facebook.
Oh, boy. Well, thankfully, you don't have to go through a verification process on Facebook.
Well, yes. I don't honestly spend a lot of time on Facebook anyway. That's not really my thing.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that just because you don't friend them doesn't mean that, you know, some of these stalkers can't all of a sudden come out of nowhere.
I did want to ask you about why you chose the food choice that you did. I thought it was interesting. Now, we gave three choices for food.
Oh, my goodness
You
gracious.
Can either get
we
steak.
We are stretching to fill time.
You can get steak. You can get a delicious cornbread stuffed chicken, which has been the most popular selection, by the way. I think people get excited about the
good,
cornbread
Good, because I like to be different then.
And then you went with the manicotti stuffed with the ricotta cheese.
Well, I'm a pasta guy.
Okay.
So, I mean, that would be the number one reason.
That was by far the least chosen item, by the way.
Okay, good. More of a reason I like to be different. So, and I'm glad that the chef now has to work a little bit harder to prepare my meal. So this is good news. I'm glad that I'm getting more and more of this background info. I just wanted to mix it up. I mean, there was nothing really to read into it other than I'm a pasta guy.
I'm a little confused, though. You live in New York. You got some of the best Italian food in the world. You go to Iowa, and you get pasta.
Well, I mean, I could say the same thing about meats here in New York, too. You get great steak here.
Dude, Iowa is where the cows and the pigs are. You get the freshest
necessarily
meat possible
say that.
There.
We
trust
get pretty good meat here in New York.
No, you do. And look, New York steakhouses are awesome. I'm not trying to downplay it. But you get some put the pork chops out there, steaks out there. Very good. Excellent.
Well,
they come right off the farm.
There's been some questions regarding my research about the process in which the meat is moved along, especially to the place that you're having your wedding at.
Oh, please.
Well, that's what I've been reading about. To protect myself, I think the pasta would be the safer bet.
Now, are you going to stick around and watch some OTAs today?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right.
I'm in the mix. I'm ready to go. Got my game face on.
You got anything else to say? Oh, by the way, someone brought up, too, that Dominic Rogers-Cromartie might try to make a number change at some point, too. So maybe lay low on that jersey.
Well, I don't think anybody's safe when it comes to number changes, to be honest with you.
Apparently,
you really never
and
know.
I didn't realize this, he was 45 at some point in his career, and that's Hanoski's number. And obviously, there's a chance Hanoski, if he loses that battle to John Connor, might not be on the roster. So if he changes his number, in other words, lay low to the regular season.
I would wait for the regular season roster to be finalized.
Correct.
Don't buy anybody before at least training camp is over.
Lance, good times as always.
Always a fun time.
We'll see you soon, my friend.
Sounds good.
For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. By the way, you can check out on Giants.com coverage of OTAs all day today. I did a one-on-one interview with Antonio Pierce yesterday. He broke down the Giants for me, his post-football life, and also he broke down the NFC East as well. It was a good spot. So check that out on Giants.com. And we'll talk to a couple players. I did a one-on-one with Xavier Grimble. I think that'll go up later on today. And I'm trying to talk to Quinton Demps and Ruben Randall today as well. And hopefully that'll be up either tomorrow or early next week. So check that out on Giants.com. It's all coming your way. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:30. Big Blue Kickoff Live.